Welcome back to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our Watch Club for The Bad Batch Season 3. You can either fight me or trust me. Welcome back to Watch Club. My name is CTO831, but you can call me Hugs. And this is our Watch Club for Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 8. If you're joining us for the first time, well, this is Watch Club, our weekly review series, kind of like a book club, but in my opinion, it's way better. Keep in mind, we will be going into full spoilers for this series and Star Wars in general, so if you haven't watched this week's episode yet, be sure to do so, and then come right back in less than 12 parsecs. Now, before we almost get eaten by a bunch of swamp gators, let me introduce you to our experimental crew of ragtag troopers. Trooper. First up, we are so glad to have a true friend and war hero joining us, and her name is CTO118, but you can call her Brushstroke.
That's me.
Hello. Are you doing?
I'm doing well, happy to be here
back again with the batches.
Yes.
The two of us. You know, we were really hoping to find our lost brother, the dankest dude on Dagobah. But Joints was unable to make us. Something about his toes are frozen or something. I don't know.
That's what I hear.
That's what we heard. Yeah. Hopefully we can unfreeze his toes. We'll stick him in a back to tank and hear from him next week. But Megan, you know, this episode, we do get a little bit of your favorite thing besides Omega in this episode, and that's a bit of meditation.
I know, a
moment of calm, a moment of peace amongst this bombastic, fighting filled episode. Megan, I wanted to ask you before we get into this episode, what's your favorite yoga pose, or do you have a favorite meditation? I know you're that's kind of like your thing. You know, you love to do meditation. Is there anything specific that sort of you always go back to, or is kind of like you'd recommend anyone to do?
Yeah. I mean, yes, I do practice a lot of yoga. So yoga wise, I love dancer's pose because it's a huge challenge, but it's very like focusing for me. So because of the difficult level of that pose, it requires your brain to think about what your body's doing, which is a form of meditation because it's taking you away from thinking about other things that you need to deal with. But I love listening to, and in all honesty, in meditation you can kind of meditate while still doing things. I really like to listen to instrumental music when I'm trying to kind of calm my brain down. So while I cook, I like to have instrumental music. Even like before bed, it's kind of nice to listen to soft sounds to sort of ease your brain and focus on your breath. And everything Omega's teaching Crosshair in this episode, I agree with. I support.
Okay. Yeah, I think, you know, when I think of meditation, I think when a lot of people think of meditation as far as yoga poses are concerned, I think they think of like downward dog. The one where you sit cross-legged and you're just like Omega does
like
in
Lotus,
this episode. Like,
yeah.
Is that what that is? Okay.
Yeah.
And then the dancer's pose. So is the dancer's pose like the Wii Sports, woman?
Kind of. Yeah. So you stand in mountain pose, which is just standing tall.
Yeah.
And with whichever leg you're doing, say you're lifting your left leg up, you would grab your left foot with your left hand, if that makes sense, kick your butt kind of and grab your left hand.
Okay.
And then using the strength of your leg, you push into your left hand and lean forward and reach out with your right hand. So you kind of make this like statuesque pose. Okay. trying to show Nate, but also still speak into the microphone. Yeah, you kind of get into this. You almost look like a figure skater or something.
Oh, okay.
But it's called Dancer's Pose. Yeah.
Okay, Dancer's Pose. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I don't think I've done many yoga poses, but as far as meditation is concerned, you know, specifically for going to sleep is kind of where I think I use it the most. And yeah. I have to say, we did a meditation challenge one time at my job, and you know, going into it, I got to admit, I was very millennial minded, maybe even a bit boomer minded with it. Like, yeah. I kind of went in treating it like a joke, like the, you know, the home and like, you know, Zen yeah. and all this stuff. And but then after like a single session that we did as a big group, it was really cool with like their entire like staff of like 50 people all at once doing this meditation with the 10% Happier app. And I was amazed at how good I felt after just like a simple breathing exercise. It was like, yep. It really takes you aback. So if you've never done it, you know, I think we were talking about Ashley Eckstein, I think has a series out there of videos that you can check out. I saw them when I was at Disney last, actually, on the, cool. the TV in our room. But she does some Star Wars based meditations. So highly recommend if you're going to get anything out of this episode. Maybe it's, you know, kind of taken after Omega and after Gungi. But yes, again, our Bad Batch brother, we are without, and I don't even know where Edit is. I don't know if he's off on his own mission, it seems.
I guess
right
so.
Now. You know what I mean? Just like Echo. But before we start a meditation that we learned from a young Wookiee, let's get into this week's episode. Episode 8, Bad Territory, directed by Nate Villanueva. This week's episode kicks off back on Pabu, where we see a very nervous Omega waiting for Echo to calm in while feeling guilty that Echo and Rex's squad were wiped out because the Empire was after her. Crosshair reminds her that Lang Lo will actually keep everyone safe. They get an incoming transmission from Phi. First time seeing Phi in, I think, right back in this this season. And yep. She's noticed a lot of bounty hunters with targets mentioning M count. Omega says they could ask Fennec, and Phi offers to track her down. Hunter decides that it's best if Omega stays on Pabu with Crosshair while he and Wrecker go off to track down Fennec. He then asks Omega to see if she can get Crosshair to get his hand looked after. Because the problem's just not going to go away on its own. So, Megan, what did you think of these opening moments? Why do you think Omega immediately thought of Fennec? And, you know, what do you think of the decision to leave Omega and Crosshair behind?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Omega thought of Fennec first, because she has obviously had encounters with multiple different bounty hunters now at this point. But I think she thought of Fennec because they shared a little bit more of a connection, you know, when it's season one, right? When Fennec is hunting her. But Omega's initial instinct is to trust every single person she talks to. So right. She immediately trusted Fennec and made that connection. And I wonder if that's why she thought, well, she seems the safest out of any bounty hunter.
Sure, yeah.
So maybe that would be the best option.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's you know, it's interesting because Fennec is, you know, still a kind of a scary option. But, you know, I think like you're saying, like, and again, like, I think how this show is really showing Omega just, she just is so trusting and so like caring and so selfless.
Yep.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then it's obviously like the best decision that they could have made to leave Crosshair and Omega behind, because if they're dealing with bounty hunters, even if you trust them on any capacity, they can still do whatever they're going to do. And if Omega was there, who knows how Fennec would have flipped that situation to have her go with her.
Well, and I think it's also an interesting thing as well to call out the fact that Crosshair very clearly says to her, like, I understand that you are worried about Echo and Rex, but, you know, laying low is the best option. Being near anyone right now is significantly more dangerous.
For you and for them.
Exactly, right? So for for it's interesting because, again, like, you sort of see this side of her that is very much, you know, what we've been talking about, very selfless. But at the same time, she's still kind of immature in that way. She's still a kid, right? She still sort of doesn't necessarily always factor in the consequences of what she sort of wants, or you know, she just wants to help, but she doesn't really think about how she could actually be hindering at the same time. Yeah. I love Omega explaining to explaining who Fi is to Crosshair. Yeah. Like, she's a liberator of ancient wonders, and then pirate. She's a pirate.
She's a pirate.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And I also love how, if you think about Crosshair prior to this season, he probably wasn't the kind of guy that would just want to stay behind with the kid, right? Mm-hmm. But here he says, fine by me. And I think it's showing two things. I think it shows, A, he's worried about his capabilities because of his hand. And that's actually, like, we're seeing that more. He's constantly looking at his hand and shaking it in this opening sequence. And then also, he's grown so fond of Omega. So he's cool to hang out with her, even if that means he's going to be all grumpy about the advice she tries to give him. But
yeah, I think it's interesting that you touch on the point of him being, like, worried about his hand, so he's okay with staying back. Mm-hmm. I think when he says, it's him that says it to Omega, right? You'd only be endangering them and yourself.
Yes.
I feel like he's almost projecting that as well. Like, he would be a liability out there because he doesn't trust his own skills right now. So in order to earn back that trust with Hunter and Wrecker, he's going to do what he can to keep them safe. And maybe that means to stay back.
Yeah, I think that's interesting too, because you're kind of seeing that maybe he does care about them.
Yeah.
Well. As much as he probably doesn't want to admit.
Oh, I think he's always cared about them. He's just been way too much of a stormtrooper.
There you
or
go.
I guess clone trooper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's keep going on here. Landing on a sketchy planet, Hunter and Wrecker meet Fennec at a club where she's being yelled at by a Rodian who's unhappy with her service. Great to see a Rodian again. They inform her that they want to know more about M-count targets and why the Empire is after them. Fennec says she might know someone who knows more, but it's going to cost them. She asks them to help her bring in a bounty as payment and make sure that they're clear that she gets to keep the reward. They head to a swamp in search of Siler Saris, the slayer of Ordo Eris, saying he's...
What a name.
I know. That's, you know, it's quite a title. Saying he's gotten greedy, taking out one of the bosses for the Haxian Brood, and now they want him found. Once they arrive on planet, they rent a boat and travel out onto the water, but are stopped by a bunch of mines that they have to disable. So Fennec tells Hunter and Wrecker to go into the water and disable them, which they manage to do until they're attacked by a bunch of space alligators. They manage to fight most of them off until two of them board the ship while it speeds off. They take care of them and then slowly approach their target's location. As they do, Fennec reveals that she didn't lose Omega, but that the client called off the bounty, saying they thought Omega would be safer with you guys. So what do you think of the fact that, like, I mean, this pretty much confirms, we've got confirmation, I guess, because we sort of speculated, we sort of had ideas on it, but this pretty much confirms that Fennec was working for Nala Se, and that it was likely that that Cad Bane was working for Lama Su back when they had that sort of, you know, they had to face off.
Yeah. I thought on some capacity we did know at least that Fennec was working for Lama Se. Or Lama Se. Nala Se. I have both their names in my head right now. I thought we knew that already, but maybe that's just because everybody speculated the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's cool to get a proper, like, in words confirmation that, you know, Nala Se was trying to get her back. But then when she found out why, she was like, oh, no. Keep Omega as far away from us as possible. She's with other clones who I know are good guys, so I'm just going to let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, to her own detriment, kind of revealed her to be somebody that wasn't going to go down easy with the Empire.
Right.
So that's kind of why we're in this predicament of them hunting down Omega, all because Lamas, oh my gosh, Nala Say let her go. Whereas, you know, how would it have gone if she was able to escape with Omega? I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something intriguing I've never thought about.
Yeah, I think Omega probably could have made it out of Tantus even on her own. But I think the fact that she's with Crosshair, you know, I think that gives Nala Say that level of sort of, okay, she'll be okay.
She'll be a fan. Yeah,
she'll get through. Shout out to Wrecker for holding a whole ass alligator above his head in this episode. That was pretty cool.
What's that movie? Oh my God. Avengers, when Hulk grabs Loki and just like smashes him all over the place. Yeah. It reminded me of that. Wrecker was the Hulk.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he's always kind of a bit of a Hulk.
He is.
Also, I love hearing things like Ordo Eris mentioned. Like, again, like saying that name out loud, like what was it? The Slayer of Ordo Eris is like, it sounds ridiculous, but it's cool because like it's actually an asteroid space station that was featured in 2019's Jedi Fallen Order alongside the Haxian Brood. Like they're from, like you fight them in Fallen
what?
Order, which is really
cool. I
didn't
know that.
Yeah. And we actually, believe it or not, this is getting really deep cut here, but I love when I can sort of look up some of this stuff, and that's the best part about Star Wars is that you can just like type in a name of a species and you get so much information, or the name of something. And so fun fact, we actually got to see Siler's species all the way back in A New Hope, puppeteered by Andy Purvis in the background of the cantina. You can actually see what's called a Yamri, or also known as a Huck, wearing what looks like a big white sheet that they probably just threw over this puppet because they're like, how do we hide, you know, the puppeteer in this moment? And they just like put a sheet on him, and it looks like a big sundress. Like it looks like this, like
amazing,
this like praying mantis is just like having a wonderful
in a Grecian robe
summer. Yes. absolutely hilarious. And I think it just goes to show that this team is not messing around when it comes to the world building in this show. And they could have easily just made all this stuff up out of the blue and it would have been new canon and whatever, like it wouldn't have mattered. But the fact that they can, you know, pull from the deepest of deep cuts is just such a delight. And you can also find a Yamri on the Phineas and Ferb Star Wars special. So if you're looking
for more
Yamri in your life, more praying mantis people, then definitely check those out.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep going here. Wrecker and Hunter approach Siler's hideout and are immediately attacked by him. They engage in combat, but he's quick and manages to escape underground. Fennec runs off to join them, or at least she pretends to, in order to bait Siler into attempting to steal their boat. Eventually, Hunter and Wrecker manage to shoot four stun blasts, and he finally goes down. Meanwhile, back on Pabu, AZ suggests that the issue with Crosshair's hand is not physical, but maybe mental. So Omega suggests that they meditate, which Crosshair doesn't like, obviously. But Omega explains that it will help him heal not just his hand, but his mind too. She tells him that she learned it from Gunji and the other Wookiees on Kashyyyk. She says he's missed a lot since he's been gone. So what did you think of this lovely moment between Omega and Crosshair? And what do you think will finally heal his hand?
Honestly, I'm absolutely obsessed with the relationship exploration between these two.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad that it's focusing on the two of them, since we have had relationship development with the other three, four main batch guys.
Yeah.
And Omega. It's such a complicated duet because they're so different, but there's still so much connection being made between these two totally different people from totally different walks of life and like mind pathways. Like they both think so differently about the world, and it's so interesting to hear them talk and converse and not bicker or fight. And Crosshair never belittles Omega for being a child.
Yeah, like, she's not annoying anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, but not anymore. And he's finding and learning new things about Omega, which is so cool. Mm-hmm. I wish we had two more seasons to explore this pair, but we don't. But I think for Crosshair, his confidence truly is what's diminished because he's been so disconnected from what is his family. Mm-hmm. And I think that hopefully in the next half of this season, he starts to connect again with Hunter and Wrecker and Echo, and maybe somebody comes back. Ooh. I don't know. But I just think when he truly gains that respect and trust back with his brothers and they become the Bad Batch again, mm-hmm. he's going to be Bullseye every time.
Cool. Dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll actually,
I think so.
He'll be back to where he was back when he shot that one shot off the wall and it bounced on him. It was such right? a good moment. Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think shout out to Gunji.
Thank you for
you know, everyone loves Gunji. And the fact that she's teaching crosshair meditation like he's never heard of it before. Like he is that boomer that doesn't think it works.
Oh, 100%.
And when she's holding his hand that's shaking, I was just like, oh.
I think I cried.
Yeah, teared up.
I think I cried.
For sure. And that vista that they're in front of is just gorgeous.
Beautiful,
shout
beautiful.
Out to the animation again. But yeah. I think as far as Crosshair's hand is concerned, I think it's going to come down to, yes, it's something psychological, kind of like what you're saying there and what AZ's saying. But I think it's going to require him to open up even more about what happened on Tantus. And I think he's holding on to something that he doesn't want to admit. And maybe that is something involving Tech. And maybe his guilt is too much for him. And I think it's interesting where we start with Omega in this episode, right? She's feeling very guilty. And then inadvertently, she's maybe helping Crosshair with his guilt. And I think it's these writers are really smart. And I think they're too smart not to draw those parallels between these characters, right? And I wonder if that's why we've gotten so many moments of Omega not just feeling the draw to help everyone, but specifically feelings of guilt in front of Crosshair. Like every single time that we've seen her this season sort of say like, oh no, we need to go back and save them or we should help them or what have you, it's always been in front of Crosshair or to Crosshair. So I'm wondering, like I think something's gonna happen and it's gonna be too much for Crosshair and he's gonna reveal something terrible, but at the same time it's going to bring him back. He's going to come
like
back
lift
to
that weight.
Right. And so it almost in a way, it's like the very thing that is causing him to have this problem is, you know, him admitting it is going to free him of it and maybe also allow him to solve for it at the same time. I think it would be really cool.
Ooh, I love that. Guys, everyone needs therapy.
Yes. And now to our sponsor, BetterHelp.
BetterHelp,
if you're listening, please. but yes, I think that would be, I really just think that would really work really well. And I'd be intrigued to see kind of how that goes down. So yeah.
I love that. That's so great. I'm on that board now.
Perfect. Awesome. I've got one more thing to speculate, but we will get to that pretty soon, actually, right? Almost right now. Fennec promises Hunter and Wrecker that she didn't actually have the information on her, but that she will get it after she delivers Siler to her client. Hunter, very frustrated, says that's not what they agreed on, but she says you can either fight me or trust me, and that she'll be in touch. While she flies away, she gets a transmission from someone and informs them that she just did a mission with some clones who were asking about M-count targets. She says, I'm sure you can track them down easily enough, and says she'll send them what she has. So that brings us to our prediction segment for this episode. What's going to happen, Batch? And Megan, I want to kind of check in with you here. What's going to happen, Batch? Who is she talking to?
I mean, I feel like there's a few options that are a little more obvious than others. Mm-hmm. I think it would make sense if she was talking to Emery, she was working secretly for the Empire in like, okay, you're just going to be out there and seeing what you see. And if you come across anything, you let us know.
Interesting.
And we're paying you almost like a bounty hunter salary. I don't know.
Sure,
like she's getting money
she's
from...
She's full bad.
Yeah. Mm. Or...
Okay.
Or...
Okay.
I had this thought, and then I went back on it, but I'm back on it again.
Okay. snip, snap, snip, snap. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What if she's talking to, like, Fulcrum?
Whoa.
Could that be possible yet?
Hold on. I don't know.
Like, what if it's Ahsoka and she's Ahsoka's hunting these people who are being taken by the Empire for this M count thing. And even she doesn't really know. Like, she would know because she's a Jedi. So yeah. She knows the midichlorian situation.
Yeah.
But, like, all of this news is hovering over people. So she's trying to save people from being taken by the Empire. And that's sort of what starts the rebellion. I don't know. Maybe that's too much, but.
That would be huge. Very interesting. I think the only thing that keeps me from, like, being like, absolutely, is that we did get Ventress in the trailer. So I
yes, but.
Yes, go ahead.
But
could it be a mislead situation, right?
Yes. Because we know Ventress to be dead.
Right.
So there's stuff happening that we have guessed at throughout this season so far, which we don't know because this was the last episode we got early. So from here on out, we're blind.
Yeah.
But I just think that Ventress is not our Ventress.
Interesting.
And Ahsoka knows her to be dead too, so that'll. Like, that would be a crazy shock. Oh, my God. There's so many things to think about right
now. It would be really cool to see Ahsoka at this point in her journey.
I also really want some of our younger Jedi people that we know from Star Wars animation who could be friends with Omega at this point in time. Because I really want Omega to come to live action. So I'm trying to connect her with these, like... groups of people.
No matter how far-fetched.
It's going to happen. But she's already met Hera.
Yeah.
So there is an opportunity to see her in live action because Hera's connected with Ahsoka. This is my web. Okay. This is my web.
I like it. What a web she weaves. Madam Web.
So inaccurate, but who knows? It's fun.
Well, I love that. That would be incredible if they were almost like teeing it up to be what everyone thinks in terms of Ventress, but then it's actually Ahsoka would be pretty crazy. I'm on the Ventress train still. I think that's a very big possibility that that's who she's talking about. But I think the more interesting concept here is, you know, is she looking for M count targets for evil? Like, is she a clone of the original Ventress, like we've been speculating, and she's working for Hemlock? Or is she the original Ventress and wants to help Jedi along the path? Like, you know, because we learned in Obi-Wan that we literally heard the name Quinlan Vos, who we know Ventress is connected to through love. And so through love. And so I think, like, you know, maybe that's the case. Or I'm going to go one step further.
Oh, man.
And say that both of those are correct. She is working for Hemlock. She is a clone of Ventress, but her inhibitor chip, like all great inhibitor chips in this series do, is degrading, and memories and thoughts of the original Ventress are coming through. Something like that. I don't know. I don't know if that's how brains work and cloning works, but I'm just, you know, something like that could happen, and so maybe we sort of get to see this version of Ventress that's fighting herself in a way, and that's why in the trailers, like, it looks like she's like coming off very aggressive, but also with the way this show likes to work and the way that we like to see these characters go back and forth, and especially from its standpoint of clones, and we talked about it last week with Wolf and chips degrading, like, it, I'm just wondering if maybe it's both. Maybe she is working for Hemlock, but she ends up betraying him and actually saving Jedi in the end.
That would be dope.
Right?
And also that actually sounds plausible because this Project Necromancer thing.
Yeah.
That is like the act of necromancy is bringing back to life a dead body. Mm-hmm. So it would still be her original brain. It wouldn't be a clone because a clone would have a new brain. That would be a new person, right?
Yeah.
That's where, like, all the clones that we know don't all have the same thoughts and mind. Memories
yeah,
and
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
Like, it actually does make sense because it would be the same Ventress if it's Ventress.
Interesting.
Whoa.
Maybe it's her brain in a cloned body. Maybe, you know?
Maybe. depending on, I mean, poor things figured out a way to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're just going to go full poor things with it.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be interesting. So. It'll win an Oscar. Cool. Okay. Well, I think that could be some intriguing stuff. I'm really looking forward to next week, as Megan mentioned. Like, this is the last episode that we got. And it was kind of weird to get this episode as the last episode. I get that, like, sometimes from a press standpoint, it's like they just pick a number of episodes and give them to us. But yeah. But I was just like, it would have made so much more sense just to end on episode 7 as, like, the, like, 6 and 7 as the last thing that we saw
but
as press.
Maybe they wanted us to have this,
like, sort
conversation
of
at the end of this episode.
Last question. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that is a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And she's talking to somebody important.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Hopefully.
I hope so.
Megan, let's get to your final thoughts and score for this episode, which we're going to be rating on a scale of 5 swamp gators.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, another great episode of The Bad Batch. I haven't been disappointed by the show at all. I will say last week's episode, or episode 7, was the one that I felt like I watched a bunch of times, but still didn't really sink in.
Okay.
But this episode was super fun. We had a really nice deep connection between Omega and Crosshair and explored a little bit more of that relationship, which I love so much. And we got Fennec Shand back, which is an exciting character to see. We've seen her in animation before and in live action, so it's always cool to have that double reference there.
Mm-hmm.
A filler episode of the season, but an eventful one.
Mm-hmm.
And we've said this multiple times before, even the filler episodes of this season don't feel like filler because there's always something important to move the story along.
Yep.
So I enjoyed it. Not my favorite, but I enjoyed it a lot. I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 swamp gators.
Those swamp gators.
Yep.
I think... As much as there was, like, some things that we were able to chew on, like, even when I was going in and writing this episode out, I was kind of like, not a lot happens.
Yeah.
You know, I think this, for me, was the weakest episode of this season so far. Not the weakest episode of the series, but definitely this season. And I think, you know, I would have honestly preferred if we had actually gotten the amount of time spent with the characters flipped, right? Like, I think if we had more time with Omega and Crosshair on Pabu, this would have been a significantly better episode than we did with Hunter, Wrecker, and Fennec. And I think this definitely is what we talk about as a side mission episode. And it felt like a means to an end to just get to that line at the end, right? Just to get that one line at the end. And to me, I just think the episode as a whole wasn't too satisfying. It's fun to get a good action-packed episode, but we got that with the last two, right? Like, we kind of got that more in our end, and I think we even got better character development in the last episode than this one, even with how much sort of action heavy it was. But you know, this was fun. We the time we get with Omega and Crosshair, while it is brief, it was really great. Like, it was, like, as you said, it hits you emotionally. And I think, you know, it was great to see Fennec Shand again, and that cliffhanger line to chew on at the end, you know, puts us into full speculation mode. But for me, I'm kind of a little bit more tepid on this episode. I'm gonna give it a very okay, not bad, just okay, 3 out of 5 swamp gators. I think it served its purpose, and it was a bit unbalanced in terms of who we spent the majority of time with, but again, by no means was it the worst episode of The Bad Batch. It was it was still fun, and I think just seeing Hunter holding a swamp gator over his head is a great time. But that is it for this week's Watch Club for Star Wars The Bad Batch Season 3. We hope you enjoyed it, and if you did, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you like to listen to podcasts, if you haven't already. And if you want to write into the show with your thoughts or your predictions on the shows we cover in Watch Club, well, you don't have to take a job that requires you to fight space alligators, only not to get paid in the end. Instead, Megan, can you let the big, beautiful batches know where they can reach us by holo message?
You can reach us at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. That's wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or if you feel like you need to take a moment and meditate, you can follow us on X, the app formerly known as Twitter, @GeekCentricYT, or on Instagram @WeAreGeekCentric. And for the time being, while it lasts, we are on TikTok @WeAreGeekCentric.
Well, it lasts. Absolutely. We'll see. I will also just mention the you know, X. It just, it, when we're talking about calm and peacefulness, like Twitter, like tweets, like birds, you know, X just kind of, yeah, I don't like it. We also have our channel opened up on Discord. The link is in our description if you want to come over and chat with us about, you know, your thoughts and theories on who Fennec was talking to, and we may just shout them out on future watch clubs. Keep in mind, we have a ton of other episodes covering the latest and greatest in movies and TV shows, including our recent spoiler-free reviews for Three Body Problem, X-Men 97, Invincible Season 2 Part 2, Kung Fu Panda 4, Extraordinary Season 2, and Dune Part 2. A lot of numbers in there. We also have some great interviews out now, like our most recent interviews with George Buza, who plays Beast, Lenore Zahn, who plays Rogue, and Jake Castorena, the supervising director and supervising producer from X-Men 97. Justin sat down with all these lovely folks to discuss the return and revival of the classic Saturday morning cartoon. So go check out those interviews both here on your podcast service of choice or over on YouTube at youtube.com/geekcentric. Subscribe, leave a review. It helps us so much. And we're going to have even more Watch Club coming soon, with episode 9 dropping shortly after episode 9 of the show drops on Disney Plus next week. Megan, thank you so much for joining me for this Watch Club. And as we say,
good soldiers follow orders.